Hey, Clips fans, what's up?
What's up?
It's for the day ones.
It is for the day ones.
No, we accept all. Day ones, bandwagoners, newcomers.
Someone just said they're in math class.
That's when you should be watching Clips live. If you're not live, you're listening to the podcast. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you every Monday through Friday with fresh Clips content, all that you can handle, plus some more.
some people can't handle some of the content. It's too much.
It's so much, you might need to send some of it back. But today we've got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Friday. That means it's my favorite day of the week. That means we got our Friday segment. Love, marry, kill.
People love it.
We got the Pacific Division power rankings for you. Who's on top? Who's not?
It's the Suns.
And we're going to start off with a preview of Saturday's action against the Heat, and then we're going to get into a little bit of an NBA wrap-up from last night. So, without further ado, let's go.
Yeah, so we're playing the Heat tomorrow night, which... We had a couple, so there's kind of some weird questions. Is this a get your mind right game in your eyes or more of a trap game?
I could really see it going either way. I kind of feel similar to this game as I did in like the Hawks game, where the Heat are obviously better than the Hawks, but it's like this could go really well for us and we could see what is working and kind of make things click right away.
Hopefully.
Or we or could not. Play or we could play down to the Heat and have to fight our way out late.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for more of the former than the latter.
Definitely. I think it's more of actually a trap game.
Yeah, I think it could be. We do have a lot of positives. LA Clippers are currently ranking top five in three stats, which is points per game, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage.
Wait, 1 second. What are the Heat top five in?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. that helps.
We're currently, our current ranking against Eastern teams is 5-2. I don't want us to fall to 5-3. I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Especially to this Eastern Conference team. No disrespect to Eric Spoelstra.
But there's no reason that a team this this good as the Clippers should be going 500 or less against Eastern Conference teams. That's not going to cut it if we want to have a solid playoff seed.
Here's a stat I didn't know that Will so kindly added to our note sheet. We ranked 22nd in points allowed.
Yeah.
That is... Not good.
It's not great. But I think that's kind of why, and we've talked about this before, it's maybe time to ditch the whole kind of Clamp City idea.
Yeah.
And let's just rely on our offense, which, you know, has its inconsistencies, but for the most part is a pretty well-tuned machine, especially when everyone's communicating well in transition.
Absolutely. Let's get into what we need to do to win. For me, Toby's got to come out. Just ready to score, dude.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we see Toby unleash game. Maybe he'll have like a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after...
Starting 0-10 in the last game?
After going 0-10 and finishing with, what, 2 or 4 points from the field?
Something like that.
It was miserable. We got to really limit turnovers. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to play down to this team. They actually set a season high of steals, which was 20 in a single game.
He did?
Yes.
God damn, against who?
I don't
Was that
remember.
A game when Whiteside had like 47 blocks or something like that?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember who the opponent was, but same thing.
Terrifying.
If we get caught lacking, like we could get our lunch money stolen or whatever.
And I want to see the guy. What we got to do to win is just, you said limit turnovers. After that first and the last quarter against the Grizzlies last game, these guys, if they don't come out firing... And like clearly showing they just want to destroy this team.
Yeah.
I will be kind of bummed with their mental preparedness.
I 100% agree. You know, we've been talking about it a lot more recently, especially given after we got out of our hard stretch of really hard games.
Yeah.
It's tough to see a team that you know can play so well play
horribly.
Crappy.
crappy, some would say. Yeah, it's just a thing where this is a game where I would love to see a blowout.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see us win by 20. That would be so tight. Another thing we need to do in order to win, shoot better than 34%.
Yeah, that would be key. I think that would be really clutch. Our bench needs to come back. You know, I said that last game they'd be really responsible for kind of exploiting any sort of lead against Memphis and definitely keeping us in the game, and they did not show up.
They're going to be on the second night of a back-to-back. They're playing the fearsome Suns tonight. So let's, unlike we did in the first quarter against the Memphis Grizzlies, run these guys. Let's actually get some fast break points.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
This team is going to be tired.
So what could go wrong, do you think, in this game?
The classic Clippers thing. Like, I don't know how many there's so many cliche ways to say it. Play down to their level, turn the ball over early, get in the foul trouble. Whatever like cliche to playing down to a team's level is, this Clippers team can do it.
I think with the length of this team, oh man, thanks for, we just got a comment that they love the studio. Thanks so much, guys. Yeah. We're working on it.
I hope that was the person who's watching this in math class right now.
So I think a big key to what could go wrong is not moving the ball. We've dropped into, I'm pretty sure, the bottom 10, like the bottom 10th of the league in assist numbers.
Yeah.
And I think with the length of this team, especially like traditionally sized power forwards and centers, you know, Whiteside, it's going to be really difficult to score in our kind of typical ways without moving the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, as Spicy Spaghetti would say,
you got to move the ball from side to side, baby. Thank you, Corey Maggette. Words of wisdom, always applicable.
So they're surprisingly 7th in offensive boards and 8th in three-point percentage.
Wow.
Which kind of blew my mind when I saw it. I guess both those things could come together and just turn into a catastrophe and we just lose by those two things?
Yeah, absolutely.
This was kind of a tough thing to find something could go wrong, if we're being perfectly honest.
Honestly, the thing that worries me the most is that they're like a gritty, physical team. And I know that like we have sort of this idea that that's our identity. And I think that it can be at times.
Not right now, though.
Yeah, I think that we can play that way. I just think that when we get up against teams that's not only their identity, but how they execute, some kind of holes get shown.
I like that. There is a big difference between identity and execution.
Absolutely.
And we're kind of executing at a very offensive-minded team level right now.
Yeah.
But still, we're still figuring out the identity, I think.
Yeah. And that's why I've been a little bit down on the clamps, the whole Clamp City idea. Yeah. Cause it's,
we're anti-Clamp City.
I don't really know that that's us. But yeah, I think that especially like these gritty kind of physical teams give people like Tobias a hard night.
Yeah, well, this was kind of piggybacking off that. Against Memphis, we kind of went into like tantrum mode as a team pretty early.
Yeah, I agree. There was some definite frustration, and I like that we were able to kind of flip that on its head as soon as Boban went out there. You saw Jaren Jackson getting visibly very upset and like unsure of how to deal with that.
So if Tobio comes out cold and Patrick Beverley gets into foul trouble and we go into tantrum mode,
things are going to get out of hand real fast. If that perfect storm of situations happens, along with the like offensive boards
bad
and their 3-point percentage really coming through. So yeah, I mean, this game isn't anything to be taken lightly. Key matchups. You want to get into some key matchups?
Yeah, let's do that. So the biggest one, I think we both think, is going to be Hassan Whiteside versus Gortat or some combination of our centers.
I actually disagree with that.
What?
But no, I think my key matchup is different, but you can get into why you think that this is the main one to watch.
Mine is Whiteside is hella temperamental. Like, he's a very temperamental player. And if he gets into foul trouble, our centers should be able to crush. Like, I could see Gortat having a good game if they have to take Whiteside out early. But if Hassan Whiteside's playing well, that kind of means the whole team is playing well for the Heat. We need to unleash Boban on him. Because
definitely,
if there's one person who's going to frustrate Hassan Whiteside, it's like maybe one of the three guys who's longer than he is.
Yeah.
This feels like a game where Hassan Whiteside could either go for like 20, 25, and 6 blocks.
Definitely.
Or like 2 and 4.
Yeah. They have the 23rd ranked offense in the league. So I would like to see us just make a decent defensive effort and then
like that.
We've talked about before how like even though this isn't necessarily like a defensive juggernaut of a team, they do tend to get really energized by just even small defensive successes. Mm-hmm. And I think that always translates to the other end of the floor. So I would like to see them, you know, against this team that doesn't have such a high octane offense, be able to have some efficiency and maybe have a little bit of success, and that charge them on the other end. My key matchup is actually going to be Josh Richardson versus whoever's guarding it.
I think
that he's a really dynamite scorer. I'm curious to see who they end up putting on him. He does tend to play very well off ball. So I think, I don't know, I would still go with, if I'm Doc, probably putting Avery Bradley. You put our best defender on their best scorer. I do, however, think Avery Bradley tends to defend a little bit better on ball. So
yeah, I was just going to say maybe Shea if he's playing more off ball just because of those dang long arms he's got.
Yeah, I think that Shea or Bradley would be a really good match for him. I don't really see Beverly guarding him that much, but, you know, they could switch. I think that what Pat Bev is good at is annoying someone on ball.
Oh, for sure.
He doesn't switch that well. He's not, like, super mobile.
But he'll poke you.
Well, yeah, but what he's good at is poking the bear. So I don't know how effective that is going to be against Josh Richardson. Obviously, he will be, running. He will be running probably occasionally.
Bench versus bench is going to be pretty big. For Trez, I hope this is a get-your-mind-right game.
Definitely.
Did not play well against Memphis after crushing them the first time we played them. Would love to hear some MVP chants at Staples.
How do you feel about this game? How do you feel about Trez lining up with Whiteside?
I don't like that matchup at all. On, like, either end of the floor, if I'm being honest.
I do in the way that I think that Whiteside can get out-hustled. He can get out hustled and he can get out efforted.
If he wakes up on
which
the wrong,
is not a word, but
if he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed for this game, they're gonna lose.
Definitely,
because he just walked. He walked off the floor last game. I like your note here. Spo versus Doc.
Yeah, I'm really interested. I love both these coaches
for sure. Shout out Eric Spoelstra. He's watching.
I wrote in the note. I wrote in the notes. Really curious to see how these two maestros play it out.
I mean,
I think that there's just both of these coaches are very experienced, and if both, I feel like had a really similar trajectory where they had a big three or a big four, and then transitioned into what people kind of thought would be a down period for both of them.
Yeah.
And have been able to, you know, be pretty successful with the lineups that they have, maximize talent, and kind of grow players within the system.
So, predictions. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm going Clips. I don't even know. I haven't watched enough Heat games to really accurately score this one.
I don't think anyone has.
but I'm going to go home game. I'm hoping we can get out of there 118-106.
Dang. All right, 118-106. I'm going to give a bit of a William the Opinion score line. I'm saying Buck 19-97 Clippers.
Ooh, keeping them under 100?
Yeah, we're keeping them under 100.
I love
that. That's
going
to happen. Coming up right after this break, we're going to do a very quick NBA wrap-up. But first, if you're watching on the live stream right now or listening and you follow multiple Locked On Network podcasts,
it's so difficult.
Check out Locked On Net.
So much good content coming at you from everywhere.
On Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything. It's great during live games. You get some big story stuff in Instagram feeds. Check that out right after this NBA wrap-up. So, Blazers destroyed the Suns.
Yeah.
I mean, 108-96.
I mean, I just don't know what we expected. I feel like the Blazers have had a little bit of ups and downs recently. They've kind of taken a couple L's.
Phoenix scored 9 points in the first quarter.
Very hard way to win a game.
Yeah, that's
I hope the Clippers remember that on Saturday.
God, yeah. Damian Lillard led all scorers with 25. Someone named Jake Layman was second with 24 points. No other Blazer had more than 10. The Suns were led in scoring by Troy Daniels. Not going to win a lot of games.
Shout out to anyone if they know who Jake Layman is. Go ahead and
holler at us.
Give us some info.
Josh Jackson had 14. And DeAndre Ayton had this weird thing where I was reading he was sick before the game and he might not play, but then he wasn't sick, but then he wasn't well enough to start. And so he came off the bench and put up 11-8.
I mean, that's pretty solid numbers for a rookie coming off the bench who's maybe sick with the mysterious NBA illness that's going around.
It seems like Suns fans are getting pretty bummed out on DeAndre Ayton right now.
Yeah.
Suns,
I don't
Twitter,
know. I think I went on a rant on this sometime this week, but
should have picked Luka Doncic.
Yeah. All right. The GM's already out, but I would say someone's getting fired over this.
Yeah. You want to tell these nice people your headline for the next game that you wrote?
Oh, yeah. The Rockets got their Jazz kicked in Utah, 118-91. not a great game. I guess at halftime, D'Antoni told Harden that he needed to come out and unleash it in the second half. And he got benched in the fourth after putting up 5 points in the third.
Deal with it, NBA.
So Harden finished with 15-6-2. Chris Paul had 12-1-5.
I like that you put the one in there.
I mean, dude, that one board is big for a small guy.
I guess.
And Capella with a very respectable 12-10. Would you put something in here about Michael Carter Williams?
Oh, I didn't.
He was their second highest scorer with 13. 13. Yikes.
Not a good.
That was me. And the Rockets had 11 points in the third. As I said, very poor third quarter.
NBA, dude.
And this was a Rudy Gobert-less Jazz, which I think is interesting. He got ejected almost immediately in the game, and he went to the classic slap a water bottle off the scorer's table. And I just wanted to pose the question, is there anything funnier than a huge Frenchman slapping a water bottle?
No, that's funny. Sacre bleu. Smack the hell of it.
And some other notes from this game. Former Clips great, Joe Ingles.
Oh, yeah. Love those years.
finished with 18. Donnie Exum had 15, 2, and 5. And Derek Favors led the Jazz with 24 and 10. Really great game from their big guys. So.
Stoked to see Dante Exum playing well. I really liked him. Celtics cooked the Knicks, 128 to 100. Kyrie had 22, 4, and 8. Jaylen Brown, 21, 3, and 2, I believe off the bench. Al Horford with 19, 12, and 3.
How much better is Jaylen Brown looking than Gordon Hayward right now?
Better?
A lot better.
Better. The Gordon Hayward hate him kind of like, dude, he had a brutal injury. Like, his brain's got to be
off. I'm not
off.
Down. I'm definitely not out on Gordon Hayward. And it's, like, documented that he had some issues mentally, like, coming back.
Of course.
Obviously went through, like, as a lot of injured players do, you kind of go through a dark period, I hear.
Tim Hardaway Jr. led the Knicks with 22-1-2. No one else had more than 17. Oh, Knox had 11-4-2.
Where does he rank for you in rookies right now?
Probably, like, that second tier of guys who's, like, so the rookie class is really damn good this year, which is tight.
Very surprised. I did not expect this rookie class to be as good as it is.
I'd put him like second tier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Who else are you putting in there?
Wendell Carter Jr. He's maybe actually in the top tier now that I'm thinking
about.
He's
been really solid.
That's all I can
I don't know. The top tier is so top. I just feel like.
There's a lot of people in it too.
So I guess
this is a funny note.
I just wanted to bring this up. As someone who watches zero Knicks games, is it time for Kevin Knox to snag Mario Hezonja's starting spot?
So I'm someone who I fully bought into the Mario Hezonja hype when he was coming into the league. I was like, oh, this dude's so good. He's great in summer league. He's going to be awesome. He's like a dickhead, which is cool.
That's why we call him Charles Never Wrong Knoxler.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't ever watch any Knicks games, but yeah, 100%. But they're trying to tank. So for the good of the team, keep him in, I say.
Yeah.
That about does it for our NBA wrap-up. Coming up, we got a good amount of time to get into these Pacific Division rankings and our favorite game, Love, Marry, Kill.
All right, so...
what should we start with?
I think our bottom three are both the same, so why don't we just go 1-1, 2-2, and then we'll do our rest.
For sure. So my ranking for number one in the Pacific Division right now, still those damn Warriors.
Yawn. I'm yawning.
I mean, that's fair. So I have them up there just because... they're still just the best team in the NBA. And it's frustrating and it sucks, but it's just, you know.
My number one is still the Clippers, baby, all day long. You want to see who's number one? Check stats.nba.com. I think that this is like not only do I think that right now our team is in a really good place, I think that the Warriors as of late have not had that strong of a schedule. So to see them kind of lose some games... that they should have won. I think I like that this entire year is like the humanity or something of the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Like they're kind of showing, they're breaking down.
It's kind of like, I guess it's a little bit like the storyline that surrounds every championship team that runs off a couple in a row.
Yeah, when does it?
Oh, man, the mental fatigue, blah, 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 blah. Don't get me wrong. I still think, it's only going to be a few more weeks before they're firmly at one and stay there. but for right now, I'm still putting the Clippers ahead of them. And, also just a side note, the Warriors, my number two team. Kevin Durant is leading the league in total points at 774 on the season. The closest person is Embiid with like nearly 100 left. He's like in the He's like in the 680 range. As I said, Durant is at 774, which is pretty unbelievable.
You got the Warriors at two.
I got the Warriors at the two spot.
For sure. I have the Clippers at two. You know, they're still good. Still love them. But that loss to Memphis was very frustrating. Just want to see them put it together.
Yeah.
Three, I think we both have the same. Lakers, right?
Yeah, Lakers. So I just want to ask... is this for real? I feel like they've been beating a lot of like lower quality teams.
I think it is for real because I think this is kind of what happens with every LeBron James team.
Definitely.
It's like, oh, they're bad for 22 games. And it's like, what? He figured it out. Like,
yeah.
They do got some kinks to work out. I will say that. Their defense is still bad. And they have to win games where LeBron puts up like 40 points and stuff like that.
I know. And that's the thing is that the supporting cast is still, I think, highly questionable and inconsistent.
For sure. Number four, we got our sister team, the Sacramento Kings.
Man.
We love the Kings on this podcast.
I like these guys.
For no real reason. They're fun to watch. They got a bunch of weird
veterans. Just thought that they were going to have a tragic season this year. Like, even though they got Bagley and obviously De'Aaron Fox was going to improve, I did not think this was going to be that great of a year for the Kings.
No.
And I think you got to be super psyched if you're a Kings fan right now. Things are trending up.
Yeah. And firmly at the bottom, the Suns.
My sons, what have you done?
They are our son. I wish, I don't know, I just want a free book, I guess, you know, like.
That's never happening. Team.
No, it's not going to happen. He makes so much money. So let's get into this love, marry, kill. We got a pretty, I thought this was a pretty good topic. We're going to be loving, marrying, or killing the future of the current bottom three teams in the West, which, if you're not familiar, are the Suns at the very bottom, followed by the Spurs, followed by the Rockets.
Ooh,
pretty good future love, marry, kill situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So which of these guys' future are you loving? Let's just do all three in a row. Who's your LMK right now?
You want me to do all three in a row?
No, I'll do
do I get to talk about it in between, or I just have to say all three?
No, yeah, you have to. No, just straight up. No explanation.
So I am loving the future of the Suns.
Damn. Okay.
I say this every time. They have a lot of great pieces. Mm-hmm. I love Booker. I think that Ayton was the wrong pick, but I think that
still
they can,
love it.
They can make it work.
You're still having fun with that future, is what you're saying.
I am, and it's like I'm excited when I get a text from the Suns. They're like, "Hey, what's up? How's our future looking?" I'm like, oh, whoa. Wow.
Right. It's looking great.
I didn't even know they'd remember me. Wow. So yeah, I'm loving the future for the Suns.
All right, who you marrying?
I got to go Spurs. Yeah. I think that if Buford and Pop are still in the picture, I don't see how the Spurs can be like truly ever bad.
Screwed over, yeah.
And I think that like their starting record right now is going to belie how they're going to eventually mesh. They're going to get their defensive issues figured out. You know, you can just count on them. With those two still in the picture, they don't have the same consistency that they've had for 20 years or whatever now.
Yeah,
but
which
I
is
still
like,
think,
oh, so sorry.
Yeah, but I still think that it's like very reliable. Yeah, I mean, they're the Toyota Corolla. Like, I'm always going to be able to count on them.
I'm just looking at it right now. Do the Spurs did they trade a first? Oh, they have a first round pick next year, don't they?
Possibly. I believe so.
Possibly, yeah. So if they could get a good pick. I saw some people on Spurs Twitter saying they want Rui from Gonzaga. That would be a great pick for them.
Do you want a tank right now if you're the Spurs?
I think you do, dude. Like, why not?
The way I see this...
You're getting bounced in the playoffs.
Yeah, the way I see this for the Spurs is kind of like how the Grizzlies season last year, like that season, both of their big guys getting injured was a savior for that franchise. Mm. They were able to get a great pick. And he looks like he's going to be a cornerstone for the franchise, maybe end up being the biggest superstar that's ever been, you know, homegrown there in Memphis. And I think a similar situation could happen for the Spurs if they, maybe tank, go into the tank a little bit, which I think would drive Pop absolutely
yeah,
insane.
Yeah, there's no way to do that.
but if they were able to get someone in that top five, they just are so good at drafting.
And they get Lonnie Walker back.
Yeah. Well, he's going to play some G League games. Is what I'm hearing. He's not going to come straight into the NBA.
So whose future are you killing? I mean, there's only one left.
I got to kill the future of the Rockets,
dude,
man.
It's bleak.
It's really bleak. The thing is you know, we talk about win now teams, and I think that that's kind of a broad category.
Ooh, not
but
for
I,
these guys.
I would put the Houston Rockets firmly in that they had a 2-year window.
They messed it up.
And I think that they might have already blown away that window.
It's absolutely gone.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good LMK. I'm keeping one of them. I'm loving the Spurs future.
Okay.
I really love it. I'm not married to it right now because there's still a little bit of uncertainty. They haven't been in this situation.
They got a bunch of young guards, which I always think is good.
Yeah.
They're not like the greatest scorers, but they are very defensively sound.
They're pop players.
They're very Spurs.
Yeah. So I'm loving that because they've just never been in this before. So this is kind of a new thing, you know? I'm like, what is this?
Okay.
I've never been with someone who wears scarves all the time or something like that. Like, that's what
they're wearing scarves in bed.
Oh yeah. And I'm like, wow, what a goofy future this is. That means I'm going to marry the Suns' future. Actually, here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to kick the dead weight off. I don't know who that is. Everyone but Booker and Ayton, I guess. And they are somehow under the guise of their new head coach, who's going to have great input on the draft, going to draft the point guard that they need.
Yeah, I think that that is a good take. I do think that they have some stuff to love long term. And they still, man, at the end of the day, like, A, I keep talking about these pieces, but they, B, still have a freaking chest of picks. Yeah.
And money.
And the money.
They got the money.
So the Suns, I mean, like, I think it must be hard right now if you're a Suns fan.
It's always been hard.
I was expecting them to be much better this season than they have been so far. I was wrong.
Yeah, so I'm marrying that one, or they're just going to ruin it, like draft Zion, which will be fun to watch, but they'll still be probably a bad team next year. And then I'm killing the Rockets' future. It bums me out. I really wanted Chris Paul to get a ring in like a not ring chaser way. I don't think he will do that after these next couple seasons, but I don't see him beating any team currently in the playoff picture for the West in a series. In a seven-game series?
Man, that's tough to say, but I think it's very true. The way that their
defense is... If you think I'm wrong, please get at me, but like...
The way their defense is operated and with how paper-thin their depth is, I just don't even know if... I think they would have to forfeit after like two games.
Eric Gordon had some quote today about how he's just like not having fun and like the game sucks playing for the Rockets.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, dude. It does not seem like it's going well over there.
No,
but they
it
got,
looks bad.
But they got the bunch of lean they can drink, so I mean, that would be nice. That about wraps it up for us, guys. On Monday, we're going to have a recap of the game against the Heat, as well as a preview of the game. Who are we playing on Monday?
I don't know. I have to look at the schedule.
I want to say it could be the Blazers. Anyway, we're going to have a recap of that game, previewing that the game against. We're going to assume the Blazers. We're getting fact-checked right now. 1 second.
We play...
The Suns.
We play the Suns.
So wrong. We're going to have a recap of the game against the Heat, preview of the game against the Suns, and then the freshies, as we do every Monday, just our rookie report, see what's going on, new players.
Just our fresh report. They're not all even rookies. There's a lot of fresh blood on this team, so we got a lot to talk about.
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.